Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." To those of you that don't know our family here at Airport, we've often said we won't ever be in any place simply because of the age factor longer than we were here in South San Francisco for 38 years and with this congregation for 28 years of that 38 years. What a blessing it is for Doris and me to be here and to address and to visit with you and to study God's Word with you for at least, and if you stretched it out to the various countries, there's at least 8 distinct nationalities here in this audience. You don't have that very many. Airport is doing well. And Brother Stew exhibited that rejoicing with the very verse that Brother Halpin read and in line with the songs that Brother Brent talked about. Lord, we come together. That psalm that's attributed to David, 122 and verse 1, David said, "I was glad when they said, let us go up to the house of the Lord and worship." That's a marvelous verse. Within that text, it exhibits why that God on one occasion said, "David is a man after my heart." The word "I was glad" in several translations, Brother McCord translated, "I rejoiced." That's the very word that Brother Stew used a minute ago, rejoicing to be together. That's exactly what David said. "I'm rejoicing, I'm happy when they said, let us go up to the house of God." Not go to the ball game, not go to somewhere else, but go to God's house. Why? Because God is there. And worship Him. He is our Maker. He is our Creator. That's the way we're here. And that's the only way we're here. We did not happen by chance. We were created in the image of God, Genesis 1:26. And good folks, don't let anybody misguide you and teach you otherwise. You may not be able to persuade them. You do not have to be ugly, but you can simply tell them you are not a product of chance or evolution. And to be honest with it, they are not either. They just don't know it. They were created. And David was glad when he can go and worship God. Now, I can't do some of the things that I'll talk about this morning as well as one of our elders at Gloucester Street in Tupelo. Those of you that are familiar with the quarterlies, the Gospel Advocate quarterlies, the adult quarterlies, you know, that come out every quarter, spring, summer, winter, fall. Brother Chad Ramsey, who preaches there for the Gloucester Street congregation, has been there 13 years, writes those. One of the top 10 preachers that I have ever known. And yet he's so young. In life, in ability, in study, and in the ability to preach. But Brother Seegers, in Chad's absence, preached a sermon, and he started it like this. "I'm going to preach to myself today. So you just sit back. I'm going to talk to James." And as we go along, I want you to use that application. I can't do it as well as he did. I listened to his CD because we record all the lessons. CD, most of them were used on the radio of Chad's lessons. And all of the other speakers are regularly recorded and you can pick them up in CD form. And he said, James, are you glad when you get ready to go to worship on the first day of the week to go and serve God? Do you anticipate it? I'm going to put it in first person the way I feel. I look forward when I'm not out preaching somewhere else to hear Chad, what is he going to say? I have three notebooks completely filled. His sermons are methodically outlined and you can follow it very easily. But Brother James literally stood up there as an elder about 80 years old. And from the heart, he said, James, are you glad when it comes Sunday morning to go and worship God? Let me ask you. I was this morning to come and be with you, but to address my Creator. Everything that I have is from Him. Paul said, in Him we live and move and have our being. You do not blink your eye without God giving you that power. And don't ever forget that. Now, outside of these walls, there are hundreds of people. They do not only want you to not say anything about it, they do everything that they can do to detract you. And so we must be truthful. Am I glad to go and to assemble with my brothers and my sisters in Christ and to worship God? And before I forget it, and this is what I love about the congregation still, that if I say something that's not exact, then somebody catches it. Brother Bob said, did you remember? No, I didn't remember. I said earlier that God made a covenant with the Christians. I didn't remember I said that, but God made a covenant. Did He make it with the Christians, His covenant of circumcision? No. It was God made a covenant with the Hebrew people, not us. Christianity didn't exist for another 2,000 years after Abraham. So it was God made a covenant with Israel and all these promises with His people, the Israelites. And so I was glad. I rejoiced. I looked forward when they said, let us go up to the house of God. That was not just any place. That wasn't a place of entertainment. That's where God designed to meet. All through the Old Testament, the tabernacle was erected. There are chapters that deal with how that tabernacle was to be put together when they moved from place to place, and all of the vessels in the tabernacle, and how that worship was to be conducted. And then when they got in the temple, they went to the temple, the Jewish people. I want to make sure that I say not Christian, but the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, went to the temple every year and kept the feast of the Passover. And so God appointed a place. And very often, as you read in the Old Testament, you will read that the leaders call them together to go where God appointed for them to worship. Not just in any place. He named in many cases the city, but He named the place in which they were to worship Him. To the house of God. Now, for you and for me, the house of God is the church. Listen to Paul. I write these things, hope to come to you shortly. But if I tarry, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. I am in Christ. I am in His church. Why is His church important? Because when He died on the cross, He died for our sins. He arranged the forgiveness in His church, not outside of His church. If you want to get a lesson that the grammarians would probably say, well, that's not really so grammatically correct because it uses the same expression too many times over and over. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1 through 14, the expression in Christ or in Him is used 12 times in 14 verses. And all 12 times in Christ refers to a privilege, not outside of Christ. So in Christ is in His body. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. You're not baptized into just anybody. And in that body, the Lord is the Savior of the body. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 and through 25. And Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. He is the head of the body, the church. The body and the church is the same thing. You can substitute one for another. For by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. If the body is the church, and it is, Paul said, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, then when one is baptized into the body, he's likewise baptized into the church. So those that have been baptized are in Christ. Those that have not been baptized are not in Christ. That's the distinction. But we're talking about David as a Hebrew person, one of God's chosen people, and God designed them to worship. They worshiped on the Sabbath day in that time. But He said, I was glad when they said, let us go up to the house of God and worship Him. I rejoiced doing that. Now, in connection with that, turn to the book of Psalm 114, or 118 in verse 14. And another psalm that is so full of meaning. It's verse 24. Psalm 118 and verse 24. Now, most of you know this verse. You might not know that it was in this particular place, but you've heard of it. I think it was Sister Harriet, who we hope to visit tomorrow, gave Doris a little plaque with this psalm, and it hangs over our sink. And I see it every day when I go, and here's what it says to the sink. When I go and there at the sink. This is the day which Jehovah hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. What day is he talking about? Though it does not say it, it is likely that David, in the fullness of this, now let me read you a statement and connect Psalm 120, 118, 24 with this verse. Most of the time, I have never emphasized it very much. And it says in Acts 2 and verse 1, now when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now the Holy Spirit chose the words that we have in our Bibles. It wasn't man's making. They're exactly what God wanted. God wrote one book. It's a relatively small book, and we can all have the same message. The day of Pentecost. What occurred on the day of Pentecost? All the Jews were gathered at the Passover. And Brother Halpin so succinctly and accurately and vividly talked about what Jesus did on the cross. He died on the cross. All those Jews, those Hebrew people, by and large, in fact, Peter said all people from every nation were gathered there. Acts chapter 2 and about verse 11. There were people from every nation under heaven. There were about 15, 16 nationalities there. And Peter was preaching to them. But it begins, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, They were all gathered together in one place. They refers back to verse 26 of Acts chapter 1 when it referred to Matthias was chosen with the 11. The pronouns refer back to the noun. And when you take they, the 11, and they, and follow it through Acts, it's talking about the 12. Now don't be misled that it was talking about a whole bunch of people. It was these 12 people that were assembled in one place. The Bible says, and the Holy Spirit came upon them and sat upon each one of them, the same them that was the 11, and Matthias made the 12. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 4. And the next verse said, now there were gathered at Jerusalem Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard them speaking in all of these languages, and they were understanding what they were saying, and they were looking, all of these men are Galileans. These were simple fishermen in some cases. And how is it that we can hear and we can understand in our own language what they're saying, and they don't speak that language? They understood they didn't speak that language as their first language. It was a miracle of God. And they said, well, these are drunk. And then Peter said it, quickly got up and said, these men are not drunk as you suppose that they are. It's only the third hour of the day. It was not customary, common, or it didn't happen very often that anybody got drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then Peter went on to say, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the latter days that God would pour forth His Spirit upon all flesh. There's where you come together, all. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And this is what Joel was talking about. When the time came that all men of all nations of every race would be brought together on Pentecost. Pentecost was a significant day. Pentecost in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 14 and 15, in Exodus chapter 23, was also known as the Feast of First Fruits. But it was also Pentecost. And it was significant that Pentecost always came on the first day of the week. In Acts chapter 2, they were to wait, according to Acts chapter 1 and Luke 24, in the city of Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. And then, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, now it was no longer a prophecy in the Old Testament. It was no longer just a feast that they came to do. It was a time that God's promises would be fulfilled. This is the day that the Lord has given you. Let us rejoice. Do you rejoice in that day? David said he did. Does Wendell rejoice that day has now come? Do I look forward on Saturday night? Good mothers, and maybe some fathers, but good mothers over the years have laid out the little children's clothes and got them ready on Saturday night so that they'd be ready to go. To do what? To go to the house of the Lord on the first day of the week. Pentecost occurred on the first day of the week. It is significant. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 6, in Mark 16, verses 1 through 6, in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 6, and in John chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, that in every case the Bible says about Jesus, He is risen. And if you go back up and read the very first verse, it will read similar to this in each one of these accounts. You need to read all of them because they vary just a little, but they make a distinction that you cannot misunderstand, that the time the Lord arose was on the first day of the week. It was on Pentecost. It was now the time that all God's plan had come together for His people to meet on the first day of the week. The law, the Sabbath law, the Ten Commandment law, had been nailed to the cross 50 days earlier, and this was the time that the new law, Hebrews chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10, took the place of the old law. And Pentecost was on the first day of the week. And these verses read like this. Now early on the first day of the week, these expressions are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When the Sabbath had passed, the Holy Spirit wanted to make sure that there was no mistake, that this was not the Sabbath. It was not a part of the Sabbath. It was not near the Sabbath. But it was now the first day of the week. When the first day of the week had come, the women went to the tomb of Jesus. You hear that often. Not much emphasis on it. But God distinguished that. This is the day the Lord has made. I was glad. Are you glad? Did you rejoice? Did you look forward to coming here and meeting with brothers and sisters on the first day of the week? And being on time. And being prepared with your Bible lesson. And reading and studying. Wendell, did you look forward? I made preparation. I have some notes here on this sermon. And Doris wrote down on the airplane. She wrote down driving to Memphis. I said, get a pencil, piece of paper. She said, I don't have one here. It was all in my briefcase, suitcase already packed up. So we just tore off a newspaper, I think. These verses. The day of Pentecost. And I was glad when the Lord said, let us go up and worship. Are you glad to worship God? Are you glad when that day comes? What about our gospel meeting? Was you glad to be here because we sang, we pray, we greet each other, and we study together the Word of God? And hopefully, those that occupy the pulpit will be solely occupied in their thinking from the teachings of the Word of God, that they have studied somewhere along the way what God says. And they know what God says. And they look forward to it on the first day of the week when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now, everything that we need to know that they didn't know about God's plan. You see, they had to offer animals. And the blood of animals could never take away sins. Any sin. Now that blood and that offering of that animal sacrifice pleased God because that's what He said do. But that was looking forward to the time when Christ died. And it was necessary, Hebrews 9:22, that blood be shed. Hebrews 10:5-6. But the blood of animals, bulls and goats, cannot take away sin. So that eliminated the animal blood. But yet blood was required. So that took the blood of the perfect, precious Son of God. Why did He come to earth and suffer and die and be beaten on and crucified? Because He had to know us. He had to say, I know your sorrow. I know your hurts. I will forgive you if you will follow me. And I gave my life for you. What have you given for me? What does He ask for us? He gave everything that He had. And He gave it by Himself almost. There were the women and John at the cross. Buried in a stranger's tomb. But He arose to live, to die no more. On the first day of the week. Am I glad? Are you glad? When you come together to worship Him. Number one, coming together. Hebrews 10:25-24 says, let us provoke one another to love and good works. Let us talk about, let us encourage one another to be here. Not forsaking the assembly as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Are you glad when you can get out your checkbook and write out a check, not for the preacher per se, not for the building program per se, but to support the preaching and teaching of the Word. Yes, we have to have a building. That's incidental. Did you know there's nothing in the New Testament that mentions a church building? There's nothing wrong with a church building. Everybody understand me? You have to have a place to meet, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the primary objective is that this Word go forth, that we send it in every means we have, with all of our electronic devices, or, well, that's not a good word, all of our electronic equipment and all of our electronic helps, and any way that we can teach and preach the Word of God. Let it ring out in word and in deed, by mouth, by the page, by our computers, and we have so much opportunity. And how difficult it is for people to take time. For 5 years, right after we moved back to Mississippi, I preached on KMBQ radio in Wasilla, Alaska, every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. In fact, one of the tapes is playing right now. It comes on at 9 there. It's 10 here. Or it's already played for 30 minutes for 5 years. The preacher's leaving. I'll start back and replaying the tapes this today, probably, and then make new tapes tomorrow. But we've got all of this. How difficult it is for you to gather around the computer and listen. You can listen to it live. Anybody can, anywhere that you've got a computer. All you got to do is type in and get that radio station in Wasilla, Alaska, and listen live. But not a lot of people do that. In fact, even we get busy, and it's hard for us to always get there, so I can listen and hopefully not make any errors. I was glad to do that. No money in it, but I loved teaching and preaching the Word of God. And I love to write out a check to help brethren teach in foreign countries. As you took on the work of the Chin family, some of you remember and know that. Was I glad to do that? Are you glad to do that? And do you give as you've been prospered? Everything belongs to God. And are you excited about being here on time to eat the Lord's Supper? Don't stand the Lord up. You do that for a doctor, and they could charge you a penalty. You don't get everything in on time, and you can be charged a penalty. The other day, I was one day late paying an electric bill on our, I think it was on our property or some bill. I had to pay the penalty. When you look at the Lord, when what He did for us, don't disappoint Him. He's looking for you to be in His house. Are you glad? Are you glad to sing every verse of every song with Brother Brent, Brother Gavin, Brother Melvin, and all of those others that lead a song? If you're not, examine your faith. And when you eat the Lord's Supper, are you glad? John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. It doesn't say exactly what that Spirit means. But you see, we know internal evidence of who John was. He was with Jesus when He went right into trial. Nobody else was there. Peter had denied Him and left the scene. John was there. And on that morning, when Jesus went out to the Sea of Galilee after He had arisen from the dead, and He called His disciples children, do you have anything to eat? You know, He made them good fish for breakfast, and that's all right. I learned to eat fish in Alabama for breakfast with a good brother and sister. Before I was married, I was staying with them and boarding there. And Jesus called them together. There was a discussion came up. Read John chapter 20 and 21 in particular. And Jesus made a statement about Peter, something that was going to happen to him. Another would gird him and another would take him where he didn't want to go.
And after the Lord had told Peter what Peter understood was going to happen to him in the future, here's what he said. Lord, what will happen to him? Now, John writes and refers to himself as that person in the third person. Seldom does he say I. In his book of the book of John, in 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, in the book of Revelation, in which he wrote. And the Lord said to Peter, what is it to you if he remains until I come again? Feed my sheep. Remember that? Now, fast forward 60 years. Maybe a little more. 6 decades. And go out and visit the Isle of Patmos. And there is John, nearly 100 years old. Revelation 1:10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Lord has made this day. Rejoice in it. And I was glad. Could it not be that John was thinking about what the Lord said? All the others, as far as we're able to ascertain, had been martyred. He was still alive. He was out there because he was a preacher. Because he preached Jesus. He was banished on the Isle of Patmos, some 20 miles out from the seacoast of Ephesus, the ancient city, the well-known city of that time. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And those messengers were sent. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was glad. Why should we be glad? Because we're sinners. We're not worthy. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of Christ. But go read in your Bible the amazing grace the song is written about. But read the number of times, grace and mercy be to you, because we need mercy. Do you say, Lord, thank you for your mercy in saving me? Not that I deserved it, but you had mercy on me, and you saved me when I did what you did. Now, does not that give you reason to come and be glad when you go to worship on the Lord's day and worship and teach your children and meet one another and open the bread of life and sing about your Redeemer and my Redeemer and sing together? If you've cut the Lord short as a child of His and just not done what you should have done, and you know that, and other people know that, you can correct that very simply by hearing the truth. If we confess our sins as children of God now, those in the church, those that have been baptized, those that slipped down, maybe if you've fallen in private, don't tell anybody. Tell God and He'll forgive you. But if you slip down and you've fallen, and you've caused somebody to stumble, and you've said and done things outwardly that other people know, and the Lord is ashamed of the way that you live, and you were not glad when you went to worship Him, renew that zeal. Renew that rejoicing. And say, Lord, I rejoice and I'm glad. If you confess that, He will forgive every sin. And you can have peace with Him. If you're not in Christ, you have not been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, you must hear the truth. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. You must believe all that Jesus said about Him, His church, and what He'll do for you. And what He'll do if you don't do what He says. Hell is in the Bible for those people that reject doing what the Lord says. For all those that are not glad to worship Him. And finally, confess that you believe that the Lord will do that for you, and then be immersed in water for the remission of sins. as an adult with knowledge of knowing who God is, knowing right from wrong, and knowing your responsibility, and knowing that you'll have to give an account at the day of judgment. Not me for you. I can't do that for you. And no other person can do that for you. Only you can give an account for yourself. And you can become a Christian. You can be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What is difficult about that? And then live for the Lord. Go to the house of the Lord, and one day He'll say, come, you're my child. Otherwise, He'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Come, while together we stand. And while we sing, if we can help you in any way, sing it, Brother Brent.